League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
People were asked what should be done with their remains after they die. And number 10 on the list was a Viking funeral.
Number 10? That's within my top five right there. Are you aware of what a Viking funeral is?
Isn't that when they set you out on a raft and light you on fire?
Yeah. Okay. As a matter of fact, it is. Pretty good, huh?
That's what you want to do? You want to be lit on fire in the middle of the ocean on a raft?
Well, I mean, listen, they would do it in lakes or fjords, I believe they had in that area, too. And you got to take, like, your girlfriend with you or your wife or whatever. I mean,
is she alive?
Well, they were sometimes when they lit the raft. I guess you didn't see that movie.
No.
Either way, I mean, that's not the part of it I enjoy. I mean, I don't think that I want to be in the dirt. That's one thing. So I think cremation is for me. But that seems like, you know, then they put you, like, in a... in a, you know, like a small area. And I don't want to be claustrophobic either. So put me on the raft where I can see the sky when you light it on fire.
Okay. I mean, this is so dark, but I started thinking about it because the second most popular answer was having your organs and tissues donated, followed by being buried under a tree, having a traditional burial like in a coffin, having your entire body donated to science. I don't know. The number one was just being cremated and have your ashes scattered somewhere in nature.
Okay. I like that one. I think that fits with the tree, too. I
mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's all right with me. You know, you could take all the organs. I'm not going to need them. You can take all that stuff from me. I don't think you're going to want them. But if you can use them, use them.
So I remember my grandfather. He's in, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget the name of it. Like the wall. He's in the wall. What's it called? The wall?
Oh, like a mausoleum.
Mausoleum. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. The wall.
The wall. And I remember.
Also a game show where they drop a big ball into a pinball machine, kind of like Plinko, but okay.
And I remember, you know, when he was alive, he would say that we better go visit him all the time.
Yeah.
And to this day, like when I don't go for a long time, I feel this incredible amount of guilt. Mm-hmm. And even with like my grandmothers and everybody at this point, it's like if I don't go make the rounds, and I always call it the tour, the cemetery tour,
right?
Where I don't go visit all my grandparents, I get very upset because I feel like, oh, they're mad at me because I'm not going to visit.
It's a lot like when they were alive.
Right, exactly. Showing up to the condo and having coffee with them. So I think that I don't want to put that burden on my kids where they feel like they have to come visit me because here's the truth. I'm going to be a ghost and I'm going to be with them everywhere they go.
Sure.
Whether or not they like it or not.
Okay.
So I feel like they don't need to actually go to a place for me to be with them because I'm standing behind them the whole time. Everywhere they go, every move they make, every decision they make, I'm right there with them.
You know, we are covering a lot of profound things in this one conversation
here. It's true.
I think that, you know, honestly, a lot will depend on who goes first, myself or my wife.
Mm-hmm.
My wife always wants and talks about people have to have somewhere to visit, you know, somewhere to go or whatever. But on the other hand, if you talk to me and my wife and how many times are we going to the cemeteries because our relatives are spread out at different places across the state.
Yep.
It takes a lot and we haven't been there often enough. And again, there's that guilt. Gosh, just put me on the tip of a rocket. Send me into space.
Just see what happens.
Doesn't
there.
Matter what form I am on the way up there. Mm. You know, when I get up there, I'm just going to float away regardless.
I don't know. The more I think about it, this Viking funeral sounds like a thing.
See?
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. So Ed Sheeran is trending. He was back in court yesterday. Well, I should say court started yesterday for another copyright infringement case.
Yeah.
So this time it's his song Thinking Out Loud versus Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. So, of course, we have to do the thing where everybody should do and just listen to the two side by side.
Sure. Let's get it on.
Let's love. Probably heard this before.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. And the song that he wrote that is, they're saying that he copied Marvin Gaye is this one. Place your head on my beating heart. Thinking
out loud. Maybe we found love right. Yeah, that's pretty close.
So this kind of stuff makes me crazy because Well, you know what? I'll have Ed Sheeran explain it to you because he was sued last year for one of his songs, Photograph, and he won that case. Similar thing, saying that he ripped it off. Right. And this is what he said back then.
There's only so many notes and very few chords used in pop music. Coincidence is bound to happen if 60,000 songs are being released every day on Spotify. That's 22 million songs a year, and there's only 12 notes that are available. I don't want to take anything away from the pain and hurt suffered from both sides of this case, but I just want to say I'm not an entity. I'm not a corporation. I'm a human being. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a son. Lawsuits are not a pleasant experience, and I hope with this ruling it means in the future baseless claims like this can be avoided.
Yeah, no, because now you got another one.
Ed Sheeran, great talker. You think he like talks like that in every conversation? I think that that was a statement that was put together over a month with a team of lawyers.
100% he was reading that.
But
absolutely.
I mean, 100% correct, too. Also, the same thing is that everything's been done before.
Yes.
What are we talking about here? I mean, not every thought can be an original thought. I mean, music's been around for thousands of years at this point. Marvin Gaye put down something that, like he said, you know, there's only so many chords and so many arrangements here.
I had a college professor say to me one time that you're never going to have an original idea. So
right.
When you have an idea, make sure you do it better than the person that did it last. Now, you can fight that back and forth, but it's right. And, you know, the smoking gun, quote unquote, that the people in court are saying against Ed Sheeran is that he got up on stage and he did a mashup of the two songs a couple years ago on tour. And he says, and I quote, "If I had done what you're accusing me of doing, I would be quite an idiot to stand on a stage in front of 20,000 people and do that." Mm. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, DJs do that. We do mashups all the time. That's what we do. We put them together and we play them and people love them at dance parties. And it doesn't mean that he owes Marvin Gaye's estate, you know, $100 million.
The funny part about this is, like, imagine you're a juror on this case. Mm. At the beginning yesterday, they stood in front of the jurors and they said... The jurors were warned that they have to keep their composure while watching videos of the pop star, and dancing is not allowed in the courtroom. I just want to know, where did they find these jurors? Because if I was like brought in and I didn't know, and they were like, "Do you know who Ed Sheeran is?" I would be like, "Just pretend like you have no idea who he is. You so badly want to get on this case. You want to be on this." But at the end of the day, do the jurors really understand that? Or do they just listen to the two songs and be like, "Yeah, it sounds like it."
Right. I think that's what they decide, right?
We'll see.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's like group therapy around here. It's your chance just to vent, get things off your chest. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Donna, go ahead.
If you wear your clothes inside out, that's all I need to know about you.
Who is doing that and why?
Sometimes I will turn a shirt or a sweatshirt inside out because I don't want the logo out. So, I mean, I'd say sometimes. I've done this once, like in the last, I don't know, decade. But I had a company shirt on, a company sweatshirt. And I was out and I went to a bar function with a bunch of friends and I just turned it inside out. And I actually thought it was a great idea. I thought I remember doing that as a teenager. It's so fuzzy on the inside of a sweatshirt. It was very comfortable. And a guy had a problem with me doing it.
Well, it's weird. I mean, why would the guy have a problem with you? I would just look at you and be like, does he know that his sweatshirt's on inside out?
I mean, it made me wonder. It's like, does he want to see what's on the outside of my sweatshirt? If you're curious, sir, you could just ask me. You don't have to be confrontational.
I want you to rest assured that if you ever see me wearing something inside out and the tag is sticking out, it's by mistake.
Mm.
There has been something terrible when I got dressed, and somebody should probably let me know.
Three of my friends told me. It was daylight. Like, I knew.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Anonymous from Edinburgh.
All right, Anonymous. That's all I need to know about you.
If you have a face tattoo, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, I mean, face tattoo is really only acceptable if you're already successful, right?
I don't even know if that's true.
In my opinion, you've got to be a rapper, right? Or you've got to be some sort of, you know, artist or something like that. And you've already got to have enough money in the bank to retire tomorrow.
I just keep thinking about that one lady that I was walking behind on a crowded street, and she had YOLO written on the back of her neck. And all I kept thinking was, you gotta regret that.
Mm.
I mean, at the time when YOLO was a cool thing to say, then you were all the rage. Like, look, I got it. But you can't even see it. So you can't even remind yourself YOLO unless somebody's walking behind you.
I remember when Gucci Mane got a ice cream cone on his face, tattooed on his face. I love ice cream. That just seems like a bad choice.
How about when Post Malone wrote "Always Tired" on his face?
Yeah. What?
The face tattoo says, I don't want to go any further in life. This is it. I've reached my max at my career and in my life. I'm done.
Yep. Yeah.
Post Malone, though, he still has his own jet. See? Yeah. Right? So,
right?
So when you're his parents, you can't tell him that was stupid because, you know it was stupid. You know it in your heart. And he should know it, too. But yeah, he's paying for your retirement.
Jessica, that's all I need to know about you.
If you make a mess and you don't pick up after yourself, that's all I need to know about you. Like, it's one thing if you're a toddler and you're not picking up after yourself. If you're 35, you should not be doing that.
You know, whenever I see somebody do that, like when they leave a mess at their desk or they leave a mess wherever they are, the first thing I think about is, I wonder what their house looks like. Because if they're doing that in public where everyone can see you being a slob, imagine what they do in the privacy of their own home.
What's the definition of a mess, though? Are we talking about, like, is it like food or garbage or something like that? Or is it just like, not everything is put in its exact space, because some people can get really crazy about, like, this is the space for this, and if it's 3 inches to the left or right of it, it's a problem.
More like if you pour a bowl of popcorn from a bag and you don't pick up the popcorn that you've spilled, that it's like, just pick it up.
This feels
pick
like a specific thing that we're very upset about.
Yeah, you know, I think so.
I'm with you. That's sloppy. Pick it up. Right.
One of the newest trends that people are doing is leg lengthening, and it's exactly what you think. It's a surgery that's going to make you taller. So this one guy, he did a news report about it, talking about how much he paid.
Initial surgery is about $75,000, and then the rod removal surgery, luckily I'm having that covered by insurance. So for me, the second surgery is just $10,000 flat. It'll probably be about like $90,000 to $100,000.
This dude paid $100,000 so he could be 3 inches taller.
Let me just ask here. In what world is his insurance covering this type of surgery? Because I can't get him to cover like regular nonsense in my life. You know, like, I mean, seriously.
They break both legs. They insert rods. And then they lengthen them over several months. Every day you turn it. And then, like, it just makes your legs grow a little bit more. And
it's like braces for your legs.
It's braces for your legs. Yeah, yes, exactly what it is.
It's
and the recovery is long. You have to go to physical therapy. You're disabled for a while. It's kind of like when I had ACL surgery, and it's you're on a cane and on the walker for a little bit until you're able to walk again.
I mean, how are you going to trust it? You're going to go play football after that? You're going to do that? I mean, listen, I mean, I get it. A lot of people would like to be a little bit taller, but how short do you have to be that you would break both your legs and go through this process? You know, to be 3 inches taller.
He was 5'7", and now he's 5'10". That was what it is.
Was it worth it?
I don't know. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, what would be the surgery that you would pay $100,000 for? I mean. But I mean, he did have help. What kind of help did he have to get money for this?
I did also take out a sizable loan before the first surgery. I did also start an OnlyFans account, which has been pretty successful.
I mean, listen, dude, if you're making money on OnlyFans, clearly you're already attractive to the opposite sex, to whatever sex.
Is it just
you're selling
to somebody?
To somebody, right? So what do you need this for?
All right, $100,000. Yeah. You're having a surgery to make you taller. You guys are going to judge me, but I want to be taller. I went to a party this past weekend, and there was this woman, and she had on these gorgeous neon pink pants, right? And that is not my color. You know that. So I looked at my...
Is it anybody's? But okay.
Everybody should know this.
It was hers.
It was hers.
So I looked to my husband, and I said to him, I go, babe, can I wear pants like that? And it was like he was a child. He's like, she's so much taller than you. And
so he got flustered. It wasn't easy for him to answer that.
Right. And I was like, my whole life I've wanted to wear long pants like that and look elongated like that. I'm like, I would like to be more than 5'2". Oh,
but man. This is so clearly Paul just looking for a reason other than you would look ridiculous to tell you. Like, he wanted to say was, no, you would look so stupid. But what he came out instead was, no, she's taller than you. That's why it wouldn't work. Like, come on.
Smart man.
I know. The answer was, she has a butt and you do not. But he didn't want to say that out loud. So instead it was
what a caring
tall
partner.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever you say.
Right.
All right. Sean, what are you going to pay $100,000 for surgery?
You know what? I would like to fix my jawline. I would like to look a little more like Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, or even a Lego character.
Okay.
I want to look like an more square jawline.
I mean, you have a decent jawline, but okay.
It could be better.
It's your own insecurity.
Right, you know what? Right, it's up to him.
Yes.
I'm not here to tell you.
No, John. I mean, listen, yeah, for me, it's the size of my arms. My arms just kind of always are a little bit noodly, which when my gut is like in check is fine. Everything is nice and proportional. But when I get fat, the arms do not, and it's unfortunate.
The noodle arms.
I mean, besides the obvious things with me, I mean, I've got little chicken legs, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people feel like they're spindly, but I've never tried to do anything with that naturally. So.
Calf implants. Yeah. Calf implants are a thing. You can get calf implants.
Because I'm getting thicker in the middle and thinner up top. So if you can fix all those things and do the calves for $100,000, I guess I'm in.
All right. It's so funny how some families just get nicknames for members out of nowhere. And a lot of times you don't even know where it came from, right?
That's the thing about nicknames is you can't really control when they come out. You can't create your own nickname, right? So sometimes you love them, sometimes you hate them, but when they stick, you can't do nothing about it.
And we're not talking about silly nicknames. We're talking about, like, what do you call your grandmother? Do you call her Mimi? Do you call her Mom? Do you call her Grandma? I know for me, being in my Italian family, we just... Your nonna and your nonno is what the grandparents are. That's kind of really it.
Is that what it is in Italian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that actually makes sense. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right.
Producer John, we were talking about this because you said something and we were like, what?
Yeah.
Who? What happened?
It's my aunt. So my aunt, for my son, he calls her Auntie Bop. Bop.
Bop.
Bop.
Where does that come from?
Just from he was a year old and just kind of starting to figure it out. And he walked up to her one day and he went, Bop. And we thought it was the funniest thing in the entire world. Now she's Auntie Bop.
Mm. Auntie Bop.
That's it.
It's kind of cute.
Remember him forever that way. Yeah.
I have an odd one for my grandmother, too. I call her Gummy.
Really?
Gummy. Yeah, well, that's right. Both of them. Huh? Tried to say Grammy when I was a little kid. Came out Gummy. Thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Stuck. So that's basically what we do in my family is we mock. We find the funny thing, and then we just stick with the funny thing and don't let it go.
Well, I mean, at least there's something that it's unique. Like, I feel like in my family... my mom is nonna to my kids. Mm. My grandmother before she passed was nonna. And everybody was nonna. So you don't even know who you're talking about. Like, if I'm talking to my daughter about nonna, she doesn't know who I'm referencing.
I mean, as Italian, there's 17 Annas in your family, too. And everybody's got Maria Maria as the middle name and the first name, too, right? So, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense, right? Yeah, right now, Alicia is Ziba because my niece can't say Zia. So she's Ziba. To her, and I have a feeling that she's going to be Ziba from now on.
I was going to say, that's not going away.
Yeah. And then her grandmother is Mun. So my grandmother, I just always called Grams or Grandma or whatever, but her grandmother is Mun, and I think it, you know, she's not awake yet at this point, but I think it's because both her and her mother were younger, so I think that she didn't want to be called Grandma at the time.
Yeah.
So she just rolled out her own nickname, and it stuck that whole time.
My mom did the exact same thing, you know. And my mom is pretty young; she's only 58, you know. So like when she was a grandma, she didn't want to be called Grammy, which is what she called her grandmother, because in her mind, that's like her grandmother. That's like old. So she picked Gigi, and she picked it. She was like, "I'll be Gigi."
I mean, that's kind of cute.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. And now, because Bop is her sister, now it's Gigi and Bop. And Gigi and Bop go on all kinds of adventures. I'm going to write like a children's book.
Gigi and Bop. Sounds like a pop album.
Gigi and Bop go to the mall. Gigi and Bop take James to the park.
Right.
It's fun.
Right.
What's your family's nickname? Like, everybody has Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa. But sometimes those names, they get a little bit, well... construed, I guess, is the best word for it.
The generic, you got mispronunciations, you got nicknames that come from activities or funny things that happen in life. You never know.
Where do they come from? What are they? On our text line at 1-800-330-9999. I'm 54 and my two grandsons called me Glammy. Glammy is nice. Mm. It's like a cool grandma. I'm not just a grandma. I'm a cool grandma.
As a matter of fact, I just heard that for the first time this past week. My neighbor, I don't know why they call him Bobo, but they call him Bobo.
Bobo?
Everybody calls him Bobo, and he's got a lot of grandkids, and they are loud, and they be screaming Bobo.
Hi, Shannon. Go ahead. What's your family nickname?
Well, I don't use it. My son does for my brother. When he was younger, he couldn't say Bill or Billy, so he would just call him Boo.
He says Boo.
So
yeah.
Now he's known as Uncle Boo.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
Yeah, it softens the edges of the hard Bill. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's his Boo.
And it brings back the 90s in a real nice way, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Nancy, you got a special nickname in your family?
I do. When my granddaughter was born, there was four grandmothers. So they made my name Grancy.
Grancy.
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's cool. It makes sense, and it rolls right off the tongue.
That one's a good one. I like combining the names together. That means one day I'm going to be Granna. I'm into Granna.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good name.
Hey, Kristen, what's the unique family name that you've come up with?
So my nephew was the first grandchild on both sides, and he was delayed. So he called me Tin instead of Kristen, and that stuck for life.
So Tin?
T-I-N.
T-I-N, yeah.
Yeah, for like Kristen. Kristen. Yeah.
Yeah. Kristen. Yeah. And then on the other side, my sister's mother-in-law, once again, speech-delayed first grandkid, he decided to call her Bob. Now she has 9 grandkids that call her Bob.
I like that.
Gerald, who is it that you have like an interesting name for?
My grandmother. I've known people that call their grandparents like or their grandmothers Nana or Grandma. I call my grandmom Mom, and that's like a thing that's in my entire family. Mm. The mother of my mother is Mom.
Big Mama. They used to be my neighbors. That was in their family. They call the mom and the mom the Big Mama.
Right.
Mom. I like that.
The Big Mama I knew was also, she was big.
She was large woman.
Yeah, she was a large woman, so maybe that, but I thought it was what they did with all their grandmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it was a prerequisite that they had to be a large woman to be called?
I don't know, but it certainly gave them the freedom to be so, right?
Yes.
You know.
Hillary, what was the name that you have for a relative that's interesting?
Oh, for my mom, we actually call her, it's just easier for, we call her by her French, like ma mère. We don't say Mom, we just say like it in French. None of us have a French background. We all just do that because when you put it in your phone, ma mère, it's at the top. It's not like in the middle because of the alphabet. So I don't know why we started doing that, but we did. Me
what?
And my brother. Yeah.
Ma mère?
Right. Wait,
yeah.
Ma mère.
And what alphabet is that first? Also, I just want to, is there an A at the beginning of that I'm missing?
Ma, Mary, so M-A, and then, so it's always
at the beginning of your M's. Okay, the beginning
exactly.
Of your
exactly.
All right, well, that's good, because there are a lot
like
of M's.
The beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, right, I was like, maybe the A is silent? I don't know. And none of you are French. This is strange.
That okay. Is real weird.
Right, one of you took, like, 7th grade French and was like, well, that would be a good idea. Let's stick with that.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Exactly.
Nicknames. Every family has them. You know, what do you call your grandmother? What do you call your father? What do you call your aunt? And where did it come from? 1-800-330-9999. Dina.
So, just like Anna, I'm Italian, and we're usually doing nonna and nonno. Mm-hmm. And my older nephew actually couldn't pronounce nonna and nonno. So, my father turned into Dodo. So, now we have a Dodo.
Whatever works, right? I mean, we know who they're talking to when they're waving at us. We're willing to pick them up regardless, right?
Hey, Kim, do you have a nickname in your family?
Oh, it's me, yes. When my daughter was beginning to speak and I wanted to be Grammy, but I am now Bammy.
Bammy. Yeah.
Bammy.
You know what? Bammy sounds more fun at parties.
Even my daughter-in-law calls me Bammy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's catchy, you know, and it brings a little excitement to the conversation.
Who's coming over? Bammy's coming over.
Bammy's coming over.
Oh, right.
Right. I know if Bammy was dog-sitting for me, the dogs would get very excited if I was like, you want to see Bammy? You want to see Bammy? They'd get very fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Thanks for the call, sure. Bammy. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Jamie, what's your family nickname?
So I have 2 daughters, Rachel and Alyssa, and when I brought Alyssa home from the hospital and introduced her to Rachel, she was only 2, and she couldn't talk that well. And so we were like, here's your little sister, Alyssa, and she pointed at her and said, Lala? And my husband and I looked at each other immediately, and we were like, yes.
Yes.
And my youngest is turning 3 next month, and everybody we know still calls her Lala.
That's a cool name.
That is a cool name. Yeah, sign me up for that one.
Yeah, that's like a 70s dance party right there. I like that.
Alyssa, names for relatives, what do you call them?
So my parents are divorced, so we've got 3 sets of grandparents that we had to name. My husband's family happens to be a lot more religious than mine, like they keep kosher and the whole thing. So on my side, there's Grandma C, Grandpa Jim, then there's Grammy to differentiate those 2 grandmothers, and Grandpa Joe. My husband's parents, we use the Hebrew for grandmother and grandfather, which is Saba and Safta.
Those are cool.
Saba and Safta? Am I saying that right?
Saba and Safta.
Who's who? Who's who? Who's Saba? Who's Sasta?
Yeah, Saba is a grandfather and Sasta is grandmother.
Okay. Portuguese, vavá and vovô.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar.
Neat.
Saba and Shasta.
I like that.
Randy, you have a name for a relative? What do you call him?
Yeah, so when I was little, my grandmother would read to me every night. And in the kid's book once, there was a character called Grand Monster. And I was the only one that she would let call her Grand Monster. If anyone else in the family tried to call her Grand Monster, she would throw a tantrum. But that was our like little special name for each other.
I love that. It's like my Uncle Magic. My Uncle Mike used to do magic tricks all the time for Hayden, my older daughter, when she was little. So instead of calling him Uncle Mike, she called him Uncle Magic because he always did the tricks. And now it's stuck. But she's the only one that calls him that. And I absolutely love it. Here's the thing. When you make a bold claim on the air around here, we're going to hold you to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's being recorded, right? So somebody is going to say, wait a minute. Somebody said, what? Did who?
So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about what could you do without no frame of reference whatsoever. Maybe you watch a YouTube video, but you saw somebody else do it and you're like, yeah, I could do that too. And this is what happened with producer John.
Oh, I could jump down a flight of stairs on a skateboard. I could ollie. I'm gonna use the technical term. I could ollie.
I mean, the jumping is not the hard part. I think it's the landing, right?
Right.
So it's the landing. Right. He didn't say he could land it.
I'm telling you, I could. I'm telling you, I could do it, and I could land it.
Really?
Yes.
And you think that you can do that without breaking something?
I'm not saying like the 20 stair thing, but
I mean,
like
it's 13 steps.
Like a three, four. Something like that.
I mean, that's a small step.
That's a challenge.
That's not a staircase, but I mean,
maybe like five. I'll do five.
Uh huh. All right. So I had to get a skateboard. It took me a little time, but we got one.
Yeah, stole it from your neighbor. Listen, I would be afraid to attempt trying to do this with 2-3 stairs. I would be afraid trying to ollie off of anything.
Yeah. Well, now you got to pay it off. It doesn't matter. He said he could do it, and he said it confidently.
Mm-hmm.
Producer Sean, did you and producer John find 5 stairs?
Yeah, we found something like 5 stairs. We found 2.
2?
Well, I mean, if they're sizable enough stairs, like where are you though?
We went to a mall, and it was either a choice for John between 2 stairs and like 7 to 30. So we felt more comfortable and confident with the 2.
Are you still at the mall?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys could get chased out of there like a couple skateboard punk teenagers. Like, right, that could happen, right? Because this is not a place you're supposed to skate. It can be damaging.
Oh, yeah, and there's a cop who's like right around the corner who could basically see us.
Okay, yeah, so we should do this quick then. And then, you know, also, if it doesn't work out, that police officer can probably radio for an ambulance or a paramedic to take John away after.
They're going to be like, what's this grown man here doing with this skateboard?
Dude, you have gray hair. Are you kidding me? It's the first thing he's going to say.
But also, I feel like John is already lost because he decided not to try the 7 stairs over the 2 stairs. But we're going to let that go for the safety of, you know, of him surviving this.
Yeah.
All right. John's ready to go. Are you guys ready?
All right. Let's do it.
Here he goes. Here he goes. Oh, God. All right. Good. Try it again. The board went out from under him, and he landed on his feet, though. Okay. Here he goes. He's going again. Oh, close.
Did he come off it?
Skateboard's getting away, though.
That sounded like there might have been somebody on top of the skateboard.
Yeah. Time he landed, but it came out from under him.
All right. How fast is he going? How many steps is he taking?
All right, we got it down. Oh, here come the cops.
Oh.
Oh, no, okay. They're going.
Perfect. All right, here we go. Let's try again now. They've got another crime.
Are the cops watching you? Don't get us in trouble.
Yeah. I think they're going past. But, no, they had a pretty good eye of where we were. I mean, we're literally, like, 3 cars away from them.
So you're in the vantage point, but they're moving on.
Can you just imagine those police officers being like, what are these dudes doing?
Yeah.
Like these pathetic old guys.
They're taking the over-under right now on whether or not somebody breaks something. Right. Okay, here we go.
All right, you got one last chance, Sean. He's going. Here we go. Can you do it? No, he can't. Oh, one more. Oh, he's got one more.
Oh, God, one more. We're running out of time.
We don't have all day. John and doing ollie-oop. What is it called?
Trying to capture. Yeah, it's an ollie.
Isn't that it? We're bailing? Yeah, we're good.
Oh, no, that's it.
Listen, he did better than I would have ever done.
Okay, so he said he's got one more and then he quit. All right.
So at the end of the day, he cannot do the ollie. We've proved him wrong. Let's take that video and put it up on our Instagram at Anna and Raven. I knew that he couldn't do it.
I mean, at the very least, he didn't get injured.
Or arrested. Yet. Hurry up and get out of there, guys. Has someone ever said something to you that has come across as hurtful and you don't know how to respond? If you don't say anything, then they may do it again, and that just stinks. But if you do say something, then it could feel awkward, and then there could be drama or conflict, right?
Mm.
All right, Raven, here's the good news. A Harvard-trained etiquette expert that has a new show on Netflix called Mind Your Manners has come up with three words that you can say as a response that's going to solve both these problems.
Okay.
And then when I heard what the words were, I was like, wait a minute, Harvard smart lady, you just ripped off Taylor Swift.
Is it that this Harvard professor has ripped off Taylor Swift, or is Taylor Swift so book read, so learned for our generation that she has discovered this formula here through her own research before, and this person is just repeating that?
No, I think she ripped off Taylor Swift.
Okay.
All right, so what are the three words that you're supposed to say to diffuse a situation when you've been insulted?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Now, it may sound familiar because...
Like, hey, are you okay?
Yeah, because Taylor Swift said it first. Now, you're not supposed to say it with a sarcastic tone. You're supposed to say it in a way that I'm not being offensive back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming from a place of care to check on you.
Okay.
So I was thinking, Raven, you could give me insults, and then I would use some Taylor Swift responses to see if it works across the board.
Oh, varied responses.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
All right.
I mean, it's kind of uncomfortable, but okay. Here's one. You're a terrible driver. And when we're driving on the highway, it's actually so bad. If we're headed to the same location, I try and keep a distance from you for safety reasons.
Like, hey, are you okay?
Mm. Like, hey, are you okay?
I feel like that works.
I am okay, because I kept some distance between your vehicle and my vehicle, but okay.
Okay, another insult.
By the time we leave here sometimes, your coffee breath can be pretty potent.
And I'm just like, damn, it's 7 a.m.
I mean, I don't know what it smells like at 7. It's later when we leave here, considerably.
Right.
And I mean, you've said it to me when we've been in photos and videos. If we're in a closed room.
Yeah, it can get bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's 7 a.m. Like, chill out, buddy. Mm-hmm. All right, give me another insult.
Sometimes when you take off your headphones, your hair looks like a wig that's been put on backwards.
You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, Raven. That one I'm not sure works.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I have headphones head. I'll give you that one.
I think I could probably come up with another one.
Go ahead.
You sit in chairs like a weirdo.
What?
You do. You angle your chairs up all weird and you sit in it and it's like no other person can go and sit in that chair. They immediately try and eject themselves from the chair. It's like a trap almost.
Maybe I could build a castle out of all the bricks they threw at me. I'm not sure if that, I mean, unless I'm sitting in the chair when they throw the bricks at me. I don't know. One more. Give me one more insult.
Gosh. This one's, I mean, it's hard.
Hmm.
Sometimes when you bring in your breakfasts full of snacks, it's weird smelling stuff. And then you eat it and you're so hungry and we only have a short amount of time to eat it. So there's just crumbs all over the place.
So casually cruel in the name of being honest.
What?
So
casually cruel in the name of being honest. I mean, I don't feel casual about the things that I said, but I said them.
Yeah, I think it works. I think at the end of the day, this is probably the best one.
Mm. Like, hey, are you okay?
Are you okay? So how do you get parents to stop being obnoxious to refs and umps? Well, one town is getting national attention for what they're doing. Raven, Deptford, New Jersey's Little League is off to a rocky start.
Okay.
The first 2 weeks have passed, and they already had two officials that quit because of parents yelling at them.
Yeah, I mean, baseball games, it can be relentless. Any games, really, your kids' sporting events, people get over the top with this stuff.
Yeah, my daughter's a soccer player, and those poor refs, what they hear and have to deal with, yeah, all across the board. So they've come up with a plan in New Jersey to get parents to stop being so rude to officials.
Okay.
If a parent or other spectator fights with an umpire, they've got to suit up and officiate the game themselves for 3 games.
You're not allowed to come onto our complex until you complete 3 umpire assignments.
Wow.
Once you do that, then we'll let you come back.
What?
I mean, because if you're fired up and you're already getting mouthy with the ump, you know, doing an inning or two would be one thing. It'd be embarrassing, but, you know, chances are you don't have any sense of yourself anyways. Having to show up for three games.
And not even your kids' games.
Wow.
Like random other games where other parents are now going to yell at you when you blow a call.
Right.
Oh, I was like, this seems genius. Like, it's the smartest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, that is brilliant. A little public humiliation will get you right in line, really.
So we're trying to come up with other punishments for loudmouth parents on the sidelines that don't know how to keep their mouth shut.
Well, you know, I mean, spreading it around to different sports here, I would say that if you're at any sort of like skate or, you know, BMX event or motocross or anything like that, you have to become the thing that they're jumping over, right? Because there's always something that, you know, they're jumping over. Just riding motocross or BMX on the ground isn't all that exciting. So there's going to be some sort of lift area and you have to be underneath. And let me tell you something. If you've ever been to one of those races or whatever, not everybody makes the jump. Not everybody makes the jump.
How about having to run the concession stand? They're always begging parents to run the concession stand.
Volunteers.
You want to yell at that ref? I hope you like to serve hot dogs. It's going to be a long, hot day. Son.
If you are okay, so let's say that you're over-aggressive at the hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
You will live stream you. After the game, you have to do the laundry for both teams, the uniforms and everything. And if you've ever been to a hockey game or have a hockey player in your family, you know that it smells.
I'm about to say, and you have to do it at your own house in your own washing machine, so your whole house stinks.
I mean, think about it. The game after the game would be so much fun.
Okay. Punishment for loudmouth parents that yell at refs during the games. How about they have to do the same thing the kids have to do? Run laps, burpees, and push-ups.
Oh, terrible.
Yep. You want to get mouthy? Listen, get ready to sprint.
A lot of stuff happens at high school basketball games. I know that. If you are screaming at the ref, somebody that thinks that you can just go ahead and take all your anger out on them, you have to put on the uniform, the sleeveless jersey, the shorts, and all that stuff. And you have 5 minutes to see whether or not you can score against the starting lineup.
Oh, you want to get mouthy with that ref? How about all your games are scheduled exactly 3 hours apart on so the entire weekend is just basically waiting around fields for your kid's next game. There's nothing else you can do. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's already our lives.
I was going to say.
That's what we do.
I thought that was reality.
Yeah, I don't even have the game scheduled yet for this weekend, so I guess I'm just waiting. Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Kyle and Lauren. Lauren, what's going on?
So, my husband has decided to follow all of our 13-year-old daughters and our 15-year-old sons' friends on TikTok. I don't know why he's doing that. And he's not even just there and seeing what videos they're posting. He's commenting. He's sending them other TikToks. He's interacting. My daughter thinks it's super weird. And I agree. Like, what are you doing, honey? Like, what are you doing online with our kids' friends on TikTok?
Kyle, what's your side of this?
Well, okay. First and foremost, they're also following me. They're commenting on whatever I post as well. I don't really see what the big deal is or what the problem is at all. It's funny, you know. It's just funny stuff. Like, yeah, I don't really see what the problem is.
Like you said, that your daughter thinks that it's a little bit weird and she wants you to stop. But does your son say anything about it?
No. In fact, he thinks it's funny too. Like, our daughter's the only one that really cares. But at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. It's TikTok. No one's doing anything stupid or anything like that. It's just funny.
Well, I mean, I beg to differ. Isn't everybody doing something stupid on TikTok, right? Isn't that part of what we're doing? But
right, you make a good point there, yeah.
I mean, I think the content here is everything, right, Anna? Like, I mean, listen, if the kids' content is clean and you're not a creeper, then it's not an issue. As a matter of fact, I mean, many people would say, you know, be aware of what your kids are doing online. So this is kind of the way to do that and engage. On the other hand, you can be aware and not be commenting and involved. I don't know. I can't put myself in the mindset of a 13-year-old girl. I know that it's very difficult. It must be. That's the one thing is if my daughter was asking me not to do it, then I probably wouldn't be doing it. But on the other hand, I mean, I think you're paying attention. You're probably more in tune than a lot of the other parents are.
It's interesting on how you think about it. So I follow some of my daughter's friends on Instagram and on TikTok, and it's like cute and it's fun and they don't care. And I don't really, I'll like things, but I don't really comment all that much. But if I found out some of the dads were following Hayden, mm-hmm. my 14-year-old daughter's account,
right.
I think that's a different story. I think that maybe I can understand why that would be worrisome, and that would bother me, Lauren, too. I'd be like, what are you doing following a 14-year-old girl, a 13-year-old girl? I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, though.
Right. Not knowing the relationships and knowing the content and knowing the people in your circle.
Why don't we see what the audience has to say? Because they may agree with you, Kyle. What's the big deal? They're your kids and your kids' friends, and it's social media. That's what you do. You follow people and see what they're up to. But they may see Lauren's side, too. It's strange for a parent to be following your kids' friends. It just should be like an unsaid rule. You don't do that.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Kyle and Lauren have a 13-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old son. And Kyle follows their friends on social media. Lauren thinks it's so strange that he does this and almost inappropriate, especially because their 13-year-old daughter has a problem with it. She thinks it's super weird.
His son thinks it's funny. And listen, he's saying, look, yes, I'm following my kids and I'm following some of their friends and they follow me back and they like and comment on my photos and posts, too. It's just silly stuff. It's social media. This is what people do on social media. And again, you know, he's like, it's all innocent and just funny. And you can see it all. It's transparent. At some point, though, this gets a little bit weird, right, Anna?
Well, right. And that's what Lauren's saying. Like, you're a grown man following teenagers. Like, you need to put that in perspective for a second, what that looks like. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Shannon, whose side are you on?
I am definitely on the mom's side. Like, that is so inappropriate, especially since they're under 18. I think it becomes a legal matter. Like, that's kind of skeevy. I would agree with the mom.
I mean, it's odd. I mean, I get it on the surface why it looks that way. But we're assuming all the worst here, right? I mean, if you have kids that are at your house spending time with your children, and again, you're paying attention to what your kids are doing, and they're liking and commenting on your stuff, too. I don't know. I don't want to make him like he's a creep.
Right. It just feels funny. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Do you think it's strange for a parent to follow their children's friends on Instagram and TikTok? It's exactly what's going on with Kyle and Lauren. Kyle follows his 13-year-old daughter and his 15-year-old son's friends. Son, no problem with it. Daughter, though, she has a big problem. And Lauren agrees. It's just weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's in there, like, you know, liking inappropriate things or basically spying on all the friends or whatever. On the other hand, he's in the loop. Right now, at this age, it's still innocent with all the friends. If the content changes, that could certainly be different. But listen, isn't your 13-year-old daughter going to be uncomfortable with everything you're doing if you're her father? Isn't that just normal, right?
I don't know. Following the friends, though, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Jessica, whose side are you on?
I have my daughter's friends on social media, so I'm going to have to go with that side.
Yeah, you know, the thing to me that's striking is that this is all about the fact that he's a man and that it's his daughter. You know, if it was a mom, it's a different thing. And I don't know whether or not I don't want to use the word fair because who cares about fair? This is real life. But I just don't know whether or not that makes sense.
I would find it bothersome.
I don't think it makes sense at all.
If it's a father I knew well, it's one thing. If it's a father I don't know well, that's a different story. I don't care if it sounds weird or not. It's just the truth. You're right. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the father's side. My son's 16. I follow him. All of his friends follow me. We celebrate sporting events, awards. The kids love when I post pictures from dances and stuff like that. And it keeps me in the loop of, like, what he's doing without feeling like I'm texting him all the time, crying because everybody puts everything, like, if you're on Instagram on your story or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's good communication. My son actually loves it, and all of his friends, all of the parents do it. We're a very close community and group of friends, and I think there's nothing wrong with it.
Hey, Maria, whose side are you on?
I'm on the mother's side. I think it's inappropriate. Me, if I was a mother or if I was a parent, I'd feel really uncomfortable if the father of one of my daughters followed her. It may be completely innocent, but I just feel like it's something that shouldn't be done. And especially if the daughter is expressing that she's uncomfortable with it, then I think the father should take the daughter's thought into consideration and maybe not do it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Lauren, our audience agreed with you. Kyle, ultimately, if your daughter feels uncomfortable, then you need to unfollow her friends.
look, our daughter's going to be uncomfortable with anything us parents do. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong, but if it's something that is really uncomfortable for her and it's uncomfortable for everybody, then I will unfollow. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong, though, for the record.
Well, you're not doing it anymore. That's the important thing, right?
Right.
Lauren, what's, you got to feel pretty good.
Yes. Yes, I do. I'm happy to hear that people agree and it is weird. And it's just like, okay, let's just let them go do their TikTok thing. We don't need to get involved. It can be their own space for themselves because I feel like that's what it should be.
Okay. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,200. Ron, you ready to play today?
I want to kick today.
Oh, gosh, can you not swear, please? Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, vamos.
All right, good luck, Ron.
All right, Ron. Raven's walking out of here. $2,200 on the line. When that door closes, you won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yes.
Don't screw it up, okay?
Yes.
All right, number one. Star Wars icon Carrie Fisher will posthumously receive a Hollywood Walk of Fame star on May 4th. Who did she play in the Star Wars franchise?
Princess Leia.
Number 2, Adele was the final guest during the emotional carpool karaoke finale as James Corden is ending his late night run. Who drove the car?
Who drove the car?
Yep.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Good. Number 3, Shakira will be named 2023 Woman of the Year at Billboard's first Latin Women in Music event. She voiced a gazelle in what Disney movie?
Little Mermaid.
Number 4, Ed Sheeran denies copying Marvin Gaye's song at his trial that began yesterday. He's being accused of copying which Marvin Gaye song?
Let's get it on.
And number 5, the entire Rugrats series is coming to Netflix. The show follows Tommy's family. What's their last name? Here's a hint.
The Rugrats?
Yeah, the Rugrats. Here's a
the
hint.
Rugrats?
Yes, the Rugrats. Here's a hint. It's something you can put on a sandwich.
Lettuce.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. All right, Ron did terrible. He only got 2 out of 5.
Not good, Ron. Let's see how I do. $2,200.
Number 1, Star Wars icon Carrie Fisher will posthumously receive a Hollywood Walk of Fame star on May 4th. Who does she play in the Star Wars franchise?
It's Princess Leia, of course.
That's right. Number 2, Adele was the final guest during the emotional carpool karaoke finale as James Corden is ending his late night run. Who drove the car?
I heard Adele drove.
That's right. Which is the first time Adele, usually it's always James Corden that drives.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's actually really beautiful. If you have time, you should watch it. It's sad. Number 3, Shakira will be named the 2023 Woman of the Year at Billboard's first Latin Women in Music event. She voiced a gazelle in what Disney movie?
Zootopia?
That's right.
Woo!
Number 4, Ed Sheeran denies copying Marvin Gaye's song at his trial that began yesterday. He's being accused of copying which Marvin Gaye song?
Let's Get It On?
That's right. And number 5, the entire Rugrats series is coming to Netflix. The show follows Tommy's family. What's their last name? Here's a hint. It's something you can put on a sandwich.
Salami.
No, it is Pickles. Tommy Pickles.
I thought it was going to be Tommy Salami.
I'm sorry, Ron. He beat you 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
I just can't beat Raven. I think this is my third loss in the history of this game, you know?
I don't know, Ron. Maybe you shouldn't play anymore.
Wow!
I am kidding. Hold on the line. We'll send you yet another t-shirt. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $2,300 tomorrow, Anna.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?